Welcome to the very first episode of the Movies We Texted About podcast. We still need to come up with a clever name, but for now, we're going with it. I'm Isla Ruby, otherwise known as Tulin, and I'm here with my amazing co-host. You want to say hi?
Yeah, hi, my name is Monica. I am the host and creator of the podcast. I've been meaning to watch that. And today I'm joined with Tulin, and we're going to be talking on the pod.
We have to tell you what we're talking about too, right? So the whole reason we're here, we are going to talk about some retro TV shows. I guess they're not really retro, but forgotten TV shows.
Yeah, more like forgotten, kind of like went flew under the radar TV shows.
That we just really wanted to talk about, that we missed, that we wanted to go spend some time with our favorite characters. So today we're going to be talking about iZombie. And I think that's just perfect because Halloween is coming up and there's some spookiness there with the eating of the brains.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So iZombie was on the CW in 2015, I think, is when it came on, right?
Yes, it did start on the show in 2015, ran for 5 seasons, and ended August 1st in 2019.
And they never had a season 6. I know there was a lot of talk about it. It starred Rose McIver as Liv Moore, who was basically a medical resident who, spoiler alert, after a party on a boat, I guess she got scratched and
turned into a zombie. Exactly that.
So her way of coping with, you know, being a zombie and having this unquenchable thirst for brains was to leave her, you know, amazing hospital career and go work in basically the bowels of the Seattle PD and like the medical examiner's office. And I guess she was a morgue tech, or was she just like a morgue?
Yeah,
resident?
I think she was a morgue tech, morgue assistant in a way, helping out the her boss, Dr. Ravi Chakrabarty, Barty,
who is played by Rahul Kohli, and I hope I'm saying the name right.
Yes, Rahul Kohli. He is so charming and handsome and funny and amazing.
I think he had like so much of the comedic heart of the show, and
oh, absolutely, absolutely,
yeah, he's amazing and like not creepy amazing, just really funny.
Yeah, just a wonderful slice of joy. You know, he's very like nerdy and he's really sarcastic, and he really does lend to the comedic different personalities that Liv takes on in the show, and it just makes it all the more fun. And you know, you always have to have like your right hand person that knows your secret, that way when other people ask, you're just kind of like, look, this is just how she is, you know. So he always has her back, which I love.
But backing up a little bit, because so Liv takes on these personalities, but first, you know, she's a zombie, she's got this, you know, thirst for brains. So working in this morgue is how she gets her brains. And on that first pilot episode, we get to see the delightful, you know, her plucking a brain basically out of a corpse and, you know, weighing it and then frying it up with lots of hot sauce. Which
yeah,
is like,
that's one thing you notice in the show. She eats everything with lots of hot sauce.
I think she made a joke right at one point that said she needed to have like 6 peppers next to it on the menu for her to actually be able to taste anything because she's a zombie.
Yeah, and I also love that the show has like the cooking montages, because it does get very much Hannibal, but it's less than like, you know, the creepy, scary way of like Hannibal's eating people. And it's such in a decadent and beautiful, like suave manner that you're almost like, oh my gosh, I want to eat at his restaurant. I want him to serve me someone's liver. And with Liv, you're watching her make like tacos and hamburgers and like oysters with someone's brain. And it's kind of like goofy and funny. And it's very, it's still kind of appetizing and also very interesting, the little like recipes that she makes.
I had to look away for this like during so much of it. I know it's props, I know it's not real, but just the idea of it bothered me so much. But the cool thing is, so after, you know, after she eats the brains, she kind of gains some memories and mannerisms and personality a little bit of the person whose brain she's eaten. And you know,
She
this
also
all.
experiences like flashbacks to that person's life,
Yes.
which helps her solve the crimes along with Detective Clive Babineaux, who's kind of
Yes.
like the he's very much the static character. He's like the strong man in the show, or he's like by the book. You know what I
And
mean? And she's like, she's a maverick, you know, I can't control her, you know, she's quirky.
he's played by Malcolm Goodwin, and he is a Seattle PD detective who I think he was on the Vice Squad, and then he got I guess moved up to murder. And that's kind of how their paths interact, because you know, as she's getting these personalities, these flashes of memories and stuff from the people in the morgue, then she kind of helps to figure out, you know, who killed them. So it's kind of a twist on the procedural, you know, cop show. It's not like Bones, it's not like CSI.
CSI.
Yeah, it's different. And you know, there's a whole back and forth between them, and a lot of the tension from that first season is because he doesn't know, and she plays it off as like, oh, I'm psychic. And like when she's getting into these personalities of these characters, what she know, like she learns Romanian in that pilot, she instantly knows Romanian in that pilot. There's like so many other personalities too that she takes on. Like she just explains that you know, she's got a connection to these characters through her psychicness.
Yeah, there was one episode where she, I think it was like the second episode of the first season, she develops like a painting obsession
Yeah.
because she ate the brain of a murdered artist.
And she never had an interest in painting before, right? She gets the, and I don't remember what season it is in, but I think the artist is named Javier. And you know, she lives in an apartment with her sister, I think, right? She's roommates with her, who's played by Ally Machalka. And I'm totally blanking on the sister's name right now. So that's good. So she lives in the apartment with the sister, and she buys an easel, she buys paint, and she's doing like these abstract things that are apparently art. And all the meanwhile, she's criticizing the art that her and her sister have picked out at HomeGoods or whatever home store. You know, they did it before she became a zombie.
Yeah, it is interesting to see her take on these different personalities from the brains that she eats because there are times where it does lend to the them solving the case. But sometimes, you know, the personalities that she takes on can harm her relationships with other people. Because I think there was one episode where she ate the brain of someone who was like an alcoholic and
Yep.
then she went on like a bender. Like a full bender. It's kind of like, girl, we need to slow down a little bit. Like, where, what are we doing? You know, like, let's rein it back in. You know what I mean? But it is a lot of fun to watch her, like, kind of like stretch her legs as an actress. Cause I would imagine with Rose McIver, this is kind of like not her first role, but I would imagine this is kind of like the role that really kind of like put her on the map, so to speak. So to kind of see her take on these different characters and like these different roles and trying these different personalities, it's kind of giving Orphan Black in a
Oh,
way.
so you're saying she's like Tatiana Maslany then, in her iZombie show or portrayal.
Yeah, a little bit so. I mean, Tatiana had to play like five completely different
Yeah.
people over the course of like five seasons, which is
Yep.
amazing. And I know there's a revival show coming out now
Oh.
with
Oh, they just re
Homegirl.
released the trailer, right? I think they did it at Comic Con.
Yeah, I know that there was a podcast revival for Orphan Black,
So
and now there's.
this is set during 2052, right? And it's called
I
Orphan
think
Black
so.
Echoes.
Yes, and it stars Kristen Ritter,
Yes,
right?
that's correct.
From Jessica Jones.
Yeah. And from Breaking Bad. Don't forget Breaking
And
Bad.
don't trust a bitch in Apartment 23.
Yes.
An underrated classic.
Exactly. And we should talk about that because I think that at some point we have a whole bunch of shows that we're going to talk about for you guys that we're really excited to. And we're also figuring it out as we go along. So I think we should totally put that on our list. Don't trust the bee in apartment.
23.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
That was 2012. That was a long time ago, somehow.
There were a lot of shows that came out in 2012 that got canceled. There were also comedies. I think they were trying to follow like the hype and also the popularity of New Girl.
Yeah, I think so. They were
Because Happy
looking.
Endings is another show that came out around that time and got canceled after like 2 seasons.
Oh, I forgot about that one. See, you're just given so many ideas. Okay, but back to Rose McIver. So this was, she had had a lot of roles, but nothing was really huge and breakout. This was a leading role, a starring role for her. And she has to portray these different personalities of the people who her character's brains have eaten, or who, who her character has eaten the brains of.
And I will say she did a
Definitely.
really good job in iZombie. I love iZombie so much. And after she was in iZombie, I think her, like, I guess most notable role that people really know her from would be A Christmas Prince, which was the Netflix trilogy
Oh,
that
I
she
didn't
was
realize
in.
that was her. I saw that.
And I remember distinctly when this movie came out, and then someone had, obviously written a review for the film, and they had kind of snuck in this little dig of like Rose McIver, like some kind of fresh face. This is something along the lines of like, this is a fresh face actress, or like, this is her first role, or like, kind of like.
Oh,
Basically,
boo.
they said it in a very journalist kind of nice way, but not really nice, of being like, this girl's a nobody, and somehow she got into a Netflix movie, and I don't know who she is. I've never seen her before, but like, I guess she's here now, and she does like okay in the movie, which is not, shouldn't be like, just because it's a Netflix movie, you're not expecting like high quality filmmaking, okay? It's a Netflix Christmas movie. This is for families, okay? It's family friendly.
Well, not
And you don't have to say like she's not a good actress just because the movie isn't great. Like, we get it, it's mediocre, but like, that doesn't mean she's a bad actress. And so Raul Coley read the review
Oh
and
no.
he tweeted a response, and he was like, first of all, you're not gonna do my girl like this. Like,
Good
that's
for
exactly what he
him.
said, but he was like, listen, she's been acting for a while now. Just because you don't know who she is doesn't mean she isn't that girl. All right, we're not gonna do my girl like this. Okay, she's amazing, she's smart, she's talented, show-stopping, jaw-dropping, spectacular, excellent, amazing. Like, he didn't go off like that, but I just remember that distinct moment, and I was like, you see, that's a real one right there. That's when you know you have a real one in your corner. So
Absolutely. And
it's hard to
like
pick that up.
with shows too, like sometimes the cast, the main cast doesn't get along. And people, and I'm thinking of Castle, right? I'm thinking of Stanna Katic and the main actor who I'm completely blanking on the name, even though he's in everything and I loved him in Firefly and he was in Buffy. And I can't believe I'm forgetting who his name is. Like, he played Rick Castle. Like, I just like totally can't remember his name. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Wait a minute, what happened on Castle?
So the guy who played Rick Castle, I can't remember his name, and the actress Stanna Katic, Beckett, they didn't get along at all in real life. Like, they hated each other. And it became such a problem for the show as they went on. Like, the actors couldn't even film together.
Oh, Nathan Fillion.
Yes, Nathan Fillion. I knew Nathan was in there somewhere. So yeah, they hated each other, but I can't see him going to bat for her on Twitter or, anything like Rahul did for Rose. So it's so heartwarming to see that when a cast gets along together and when everyone is happy, because I think it speaks to the culture of the show. It wasn't toxic. And I'm looking at her filmography. Like, she was also on Once Upon a Time as Tinkerbell.
Yes, she was on Once Upon a Time, and I was trying to remember who she was. I almost said Anna, but I was like, no, that's not her, that was someone else.
Oh, who was Anna?
The girl who played Anna, she's actually so familiar. That's the thing. Like, when I see her face in my mind, I was like, no, wait, I know this girl. I've seen this actress before.
I think we need to look it up. See, as we're doing the podcast, we.
Oh, hold on. It was homegirl from You, season one of You,
Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth Lyle, or Lyle or something, Lyle.
Yeah, and that's why she's so familiar.
Yes, gosh, shout out to her for playing Anna and then being on You. Because the funny thing a lot of people don't know is that season one of You was actually on Lifetime and then got canceled by Lifetime and then Netflix picked it up.
Yeah, and it was done by the same Sarah Gamble who did The Magicians,
She
who I think is a brilliant
also did
writer.
Supernatural.
Yes, that too.
Yeah.
And she's like one of my favorite TV writers ever.
Yeah. Shout out to Sarah Gamble for surviving Supernatural. Like, girl,
Yeah.
I know they put you through the ringer after season five. Like, you did not deserve any of the flack that you got, and I know that you got it.
Yeah, and oh man. And Elizabeth Lail is apparently also in Five Nights and Freddy's coming up.
She is. She plays a cop or something.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know this franchise at all, but she's Vanessa Shelley. I just know that it's going to be a really big deal. Like people are really excited about this film.
I do have to say, like, Nathan Fillion and like John Barrowman are two white men who are actors that have been in like nerd stuff. You know what
Yes.
I mean? And they both kind of have problematic
Reputation.
pasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah,
I'm not
that's.
surprised that he didn't get along with his co-star.
Yeah. They couldn't even film together from what I understand as time went on. And I don't know if that's why the show just got canceled after, I don't know, how many seasons did Castle have? It had like 9 seasons.
Yeah, it was on for a while. I actually used to watch
Eight
Castle,
seasons.
like, I think religiously. I love this show.
It was so charming. I loved it too. I even have the DVDs. I don't think I finished the 8th season or the 7th season of it because I don't, we talked about this earlier. I don't like to watch the ends of shows. But I love good murder shows. But back to iZombie. Somehow we've
Back
gotten
to
off onto a
iZombie.
tangent, but that happens with us. And that's why we're doing the podcast.
It's all
So,
fun.
yes. So basically, she solves these murders, but there's also this through line of her being a zombie, right? And she's had this done to her. So her lovable friend who works, who I guess is technically her boss, who works in the morgue with her, he finds out her
Yeah,
secret.
Robbie.
Yes, Ravi in the very first episode. And he, it turns out that Ravi, played by Rahul, also used to work for the CDC. And he was fired for kind of being a little bit into prepping. Would you say that's an accurate
Yeah,
way?
a little bit doomsday. It's a little bit,
Yeah.
tiny bit.
Like he totally took it in stride that, there were zombies. He didn't blink. He's like, okay, I prepared for this. I know what to do. So he, of course, subjects her, and this is all in the pilot. So, if you haven't watched the pilot yet, then I don't know what to say. Watch the pilot before you listen to us.
Yeah, definitely.
So he subjects her to all these tests because he ultimately wants to find out how to cure her. And later on in the series, he does find a cure, but
And he makes two vials of it.
yes. And one of the vials goes to later on Clive's partner, who she's an FBI agent, Dale, right?
Well, the cure that went to Clive's partner is not the one that is in a vial. It's a different kind of cure
Oh,
that's
yeah.
revealed later in the seasons. But for the cure, it actually goes to one character by the name of Blaine, who is kind of like the antagonist of the show.
He's the big bad.
Blaine, yeah, he's a big bad. He has this butcher shop called Meat Cute. And what we realize is that he was the person who actually,
Infected
in
her.
a way, yeah, infected her. And it turns out he is kind of like, he's the big bad. He has like legion, I guess, of zombies, like zombie thugs. And he is trying to basically make a profit
Yeah.
off of this. And Ro, not Rose, Liv,
Her brother works for
another,
him
her brother works for him. And
at
another
Meet
thing
Cute.
that happened at Meet Cute. And another thing that happened, as kind of like not really a consequence, but because she became a zombie, Liv has made a lot of changes in her life. And one of the changes she made was breaking off the engagement with a Major Lilywhite, who was someone that she was with for a while. And Major Lilywhite is a very kind, very, very handsome social worker who discovers that a lot of the teens in his programs are missing. Mm-hmm. And the cops aren't doing anything about it, so he decides to investigate and see what's going on. And what he realizes is that Blaine is kind of recruiting, or like, I guess, kidnapping these teens.
Harvesting them.
Harvesting them,
harvesting their brains.
Yes. And Lilywhite, you know, he's trying to be Captain America.
Yep.
The Captain America of Seattle. And I love that the show stays rooted in reality, because he tries to go up against this guy who's like literally twice the size and probably like over 300 pounds of muscle. And he gets his ass kicked like almost every episode of season one.
Yep.
Like Major Lilywhite.
Man, not just physically, but emotionally too, because, you know, from his perspective, Liv just broke up with him. Like she doesn't, they had this happy relationship, and like, she doesn't give him an explanation really why. She doesn't tell him that, I'm a zombie now.
Yeah. Like how, what kind of explanation can you give to the person that you love about something that is not real in their eyes? Something that they have no kind of understanding or a true framework around, like whatever is going on with you. So Major is going through it,
and I think that, you know, kind of illustrates one of the things that has made iZombie so appealing, and like why we even wanted to talk about it was, so okay, you have zombies, you have Seattle, you have all this stuff going on, you have the murders, but you know, these characters are like, they're really going through it. They're going through growth. They're changing. They actually have arcs, which, you know, it can't always be said for a lot of shows that just have flat two-dimensional characters that, you know, do nothing.
And I think that when a lot of people saw that this show was premiering on the CW, because the CW has kind of like a track record of having shows that deal in like supernatural, not only supernatural, but like in like elements of like zombies, vampires, super, like literally things the show that go Supernatural, bump in
the night,
things that go bump in the night will be on the CW. Okay. So iZombie premiering on that network, people already kind of dismissed it a little bit because the name already is kind of like, girl.
Please. Well, not only the name, but the promos too, right? The promos were not the promos shy are
giving
about
very zombie, giving very much like, oh, we're watching another zombie outbreak movie, like like TV show. Like, I don't want that, and I'm glad that the show was something completely different from what anybody could have anticipated, because it is a really fun show. It is definitely super interesting, and I think that it has phenomenal writing and also really good acting. And sometimes the writing doesn't hit because you know, it's a, even though the creator is also the same creator of Veronica Mars, and Veronica Mars is a terrific show.
This is Rob Thomas, the Rob creator Thomas. But he came onto the show in kind of a convoluted way, because he was so he was developing his own zombie show, and you know, he basically was told, no, we have The Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead, which premiered in 2010, you know, it's already really successful. We don't want to have another show that's, you know, very similar to that. So why don't you come over and spearhead this show? You've done, you know, Veronica Mars. This is a very strong female protagonist. You know, there are a lot of similarities. And as you're watching iZombie, you can, like, you get that Veronica Mars vibe. You get that, you know, female narrator, you know, she's going through things. It's, you can really, like, his fingerprints are all over this. So I wonder what it would be like without him.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, because I did watch some cast interviews in preparation for the pod, there's like this thing thrown around basically where like, Liv is meant to be like this generation's Buffy, and I would have to argue that she's not really. I do love Liv. I think that she is a wonderful character, and Rose McIver plays her very, very well. But if this generation has like a Buffy, it would be Wynonna Earp from the show Wynonna Earp that was on Sci-Fi, which is actually a very, very good show.
I have not seen that.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna add it to my big list whenever I talk to you. I always end up with the big list of things to watch. you have this just insight, and I was telling you this earlier, like you have this encyclopedic knowledge of television and film. So, you know, you are, I love this.
Honestly, if anyone is looking for a show, if you're a former Supernatural fan and you're looking for something more female-led, you should watch Wynonna Earp, because I see Wynonna Earp as the Wayward Sisters that I did not get. Like, if I, because I didn't get Wayward Sisters, I have Wynonna Earp to back me up, and that's all I need.
They were trying to do Wayward Sisters, and you know, I
Look,
talked to
man.
them last year at Comic Con, New York Comic Con, and they said we did that backdoor pilot. It just didn't take off. We couldn't get it off the ground.
Which is so disappointing. It's so disappointing because I would have been so happy to have that show. But Catherine Newton is now a Marvel star. So,
Things have
she's
worked
obviously
out for her.
moving. Oh, things have worked out for her.
And
Definitely.
she's an Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I'm sure she's going to be in all sorts of other things because they all pop up, even if it's just one.
Ant-Man the Wasp, and then she was in Detective Pikachu before
Yeah.
that, and she also was in this she was in this movie called Freaky that was she starred opposite of Vince Vaughn, which is actually a very, very good slasher, and I actually did enjoy it. I had a lot of fun. I will have to say they do not hold back on those kills, which I
Well,
like.
that might be too much for me.
Don't ever like don't hold back on it, okay? Just go all the way, okay? It's a horror movie for a reason,
So
okay? We know we're here.
I watched Violent Night, and I feel like I so th there was actually a really good story that there, but they did not hold back at all. And I think, you know, horror isn't typically my thing. Like, so I think I was like looking at the floor for very large portions of that movie. So Freaky might not be for me.
Violent Night was very, very good, and it
It
really should have gotten like more people should have seen that movie,
Yeah.
honestly.
I was so excited this past weekend. Again, I'm gonna just keep saying that because I feel so cool saying it. No, but so I was at Comic-Con this past weekend, and there were like dudes dressed as Santa with the sledgehammer to be, you know, the Santa from Violent Night. Yeah. But back to iZombie. So why, like, how did you first hear about it? What, you know, what was your journey to iZombie? Did you just like see it on the CW because you were watching CW shows?
I mean, around the time iZombie came out, I was deep into my Supernatural fandom, and I didn't watch Supernatural like when it aired live, because that's not really a show that you put on the TV in the family room, okay?
It
So I
wasn't like
would
a Christmas Prince or that show.
No, it was not. It was not. There would be times where my parents would accidentally put it on sometimes, and they wouldn't know what they were watching. They would just start watching it, and I'd just be sitting in the background, like, I'm not even going to give any context to whatever is happening right now. Like, I'm just going to let it play, and they're just going to watch it, and it is what it is. But there would be to catch up on Supernatural, I would either like watch it on 123 Movies, or I would watch it on CW.com. And it's so terrible watching things on CW.com because the commercials are
Oh,
like 5 minutes long,
and you can't
and
skip them. You
no, you can't
actually
skip
have
them.
to have them go through and
So I'd seen that promo for iZombie like 8 times during 2015, 2016. So when season 2 had ended, it was recommended to me on Netflix to watch it, because I
oh.
was the kind of person when one season of Supernatural ends, I would start from the beginning and start watching it all the way through.
So
So
you've seen Supernatural a lot.
a lot. A lot. Yes. So iZombie was something that was recommended to me, and I was just kind of like, I mean, it's here, and I needed a break for Supernatural. I needed like a
Something
breather.
lighter.
Something a little different. I was like, you know what? I can try zombies. I'm okay with that, because I didn't want to get into Walking Dead because I felt like
Yeah.
that was too much for me. So I decided to get into it, and I was like, it's a CW. It might be funny. It might be interesting. And I started watching the show, and immediately I was just like hooked, because I saw, oh gosh, I keep forgetting her name, but it was Allie
Mishalka.
Michalka. Yes, and I saw that she was playing opposite of Rose. So I was like, oh, okay, you know, keep watching this show. This is interesting. And then Raul Coley, you know, was introduced. And because he was like so funny and also like so hot, I was like, okay, so we're here. And then there was, of course, you know, who was it? Major Lily White.
Oh, the actor's name. Let me look it up. I know David Anders is Blaine,
It's
but
Robert Buckley, is his
yes.
name. And I think I just started watching the show and I immediately love the characters and the actors. And first of all, like the first episode in my eyes is so messy. Like she becomes a zombie. She's like, okay, I'm leaving this really nice job to work in the morgue of a police department. And her mom's like, why would you do that? Why would you do
They
that?
have an
I'm like, girl, she's
intervention,
a
right?
zombie.
And the first episode is like they think she has PTSD from the
I
boat
mean,
thing.
I would feel the same way because let me tell you something. If my sister left a very good job and broke up with her husband after she thought she was dead from a boat party, I too would want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And zombie would not be one of the answers I would be expecting. So
It
I
would
was
not
kind
be
of
your
like,
first guess.
girl, I feel you. I love that. I love the trope when it's like you want to explain it, but you can't explain it. So you just have to lie. You just
Yep.
have to lie because what else are you going to do? Be honest? No, because that's how you end up in a facility. So I was like, yes, girl, come on, give it to me. So immediately I was intrigued. And then Malcolm Goodwin, who plays Clyde Babineau, I was just like, you see, he's our strong man because you need like the maverick. You need the guy who's going to stay on his toes and do it
Yeah.
by the book. And I was like, yeah, you know what? And everything kind of like fell into place with the show. And I just kept watching it. And also, I'm going to be honest here. That's not really why I started watching it. The true reason why I started watching
Okay.
iZombie is because Bradley James, who plays Arthur in Merlin, was in the show, and I had finished watching Merlin around the same time. And
Okay.
I did some research. I did my Googles, of course, and I figured out that he was in the show. And I was like, oh, the show's in season two. So maybe it's in season one and season two. I didn't do enough research into the show, but I was like, I'm gonna
Figure.
start watching it, and then he's gonna come in. And then I started liking the show. Like, I was in my head, I was like, if I don't like the show, I don't care. I'll watch it just to see Bradley James. But I actually did start liking the show, and I actually did start enjoying the show. And then Bradley James came in, and I was like, oh my gosh. And one thing you'll notice in iZombie is that anybody who is not Major Lily White and they start dating Liv, yeah, don't get attached.
They don't make
Don't get
it.
attached.
They don't make it at all.
Yes. So I was just kind of like, hey, you know what? I got to see it for a little bit. And like he was, you know, in the dark brown hair. And I was like, this is kind of hot. You could tell that, like,
I love the honesty. I think that's total. And you know, and this, no, that's true. That's like how people come into shows because they like an actor or actress, and then you know they think, okay, I want to see more of what they've done. Because I know I've done that too.
listen, the true reason why I started watching Mike Flanagan shows is because Raul Coley was in them. And I was like, if this is the only thing he's gonna do, then I guess it's the only thing I'm
Then
gonna
you're gonna
watch.
watch. Yep.
Okay.
And now, Lowell Tracy was Max Rager in, no, he was under the Max Rager record label, but he was a zombie too, right?
He was a zombie. It's
Yeah,
so
but
funny
he
because,
helped,
like,
like
the
he
second she walks into that interrogation room, he looks at her and he clocks her. And I clocked that he clocked her. And I was like, oh,
Yeah.
yes. The fact that I saw it, she didn't see it. Like the audience, we're all like, he knows.
He
So he's a
knows.
zombie. I'm like, girl, do you not see? Do you not? Also, she makes it so obvious. Like the pale hair and like the pale skin. Like,
Something
are
is
you?
going on there. You know,
Yeah.
she needs the self tanner, the something if she wants to be able to
Girl, I know you came back from the dead, but do you have to walk around looking like you're dead? Like, can we do something here? Hello, bronzer?
Yep. It's funny.
Yeah, but that's really why I got the show.
Do you think iZombie, you know, we know CW has been canceling things and then they were bought by Nextstar and then, you know, we who knows, like Superman and Lois is on there right now, but it's been super pared down. Do you think iZombie would have made it on, you know, the CW today? Or would it is it a show that would not be around today?
I feel like iZombie is so perfectly suited in the time that it came out that I don't even want to consider it coming out now. I feel like No, I feel like it was it's I feel like it's better to think about iZombie in the time it came out, because around 2017 is really when the series picked up, because that's when, obviously people started watching it on streaming, and then people started watching it live, but not really as much. But the show was still doing pretty well for itself, and also it had,
It got 71 episodes total, which like is unheard of now nowadays for anything, even for prestige shows. So
It
it had
also
a
came
lot
out
of run
around the
for you.
time like Jane Version and then Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was coming out. So
Yep.
CW was kind of like having this weird moment where they're like, oh, these shows are actually good, but I'm not sure if people are watching them. Like, everyone was watching Jane the Virgin, obviously, because it's like,
And it won awards, right? I think it won. I don't, it wasn't an Emmy, but it
I'm
won
pretty sure it won
something.
a Golden Globe.
A Golden Globe, yeah. Because
Yes.
it was just
And
so critically acclaimed.
yes. And beloved, like, literally skyrocketed Gina Rodriguez's career.
Yep.
And also the guy who played, I forgot his name, but the guy, he has a podcast now, or like a web series. He was also on the show. He was like the very sexy Hispanic man. I
I'm
forget.
totally blanking.
Blanking, but I could see his face. I
We'll
can literally
come
see
back
his
to that.
face. Yeah. What made you get into iZombie, Tillin?
The question is, it's always hard when it, is said back to you, but I think it was similar to your original response before you told us the real reason with LOL and Merlin. But I think that, I think I was watching CW things, and I think I must have been watching like Arrow reruns or something like that, because it was towards the tail end of its thing then, and you couldn't skip the ads, you couldn't
Oh
skip
my God.
the things, and that's fine because you still were getting essentially the shows that had been on network TV, but like you just were inundated with these ads, and that first promo was just so catching of her with the brains and the lab coat. So that's why I watched it. Just, and I love a good murder show. It's what I like to write, and this kind of seemed like the happy mix of murder and, some dystopian stuff in there and some sci-fi stuff. So that was why it was really appealing.
Awesome. You
Do
love to
you
see it.
so do you think like, do you like zombies in general, or are you not really a zombie person? Because there's a lot of zombie media out there. Like you said earlier about The Walking Dead, how you weren't really into that. But like, were there video games? Were there any other?
Yeah, zombies have never been my jam, to be honest. I think what I did like about the show is like the heart and obviously the story. Zombies, I don't know if I have an aversion to zombies, but it's just never been something that's like truly interested in me. Because I think when people think about zombies, they think of like World War Z, they think of like Train
George
to
Romero.
Busan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, like, I like iZombie, but like I have never even watched, what's that movie with Nicholas Hoult?
Oh.
I forget it, but
I'm gonna look
even
it
like
up.
that movie, it's not my thing. Definitely not my thing.
Warm Bodies. And
Warm
that
Bodies.
came out before this. That was 2013. Yeah, I haven't seen that either. But it, just from the promos, it like all these zombie things have, it feels like that stereotypical scene, right? Where they're at the airport, they're, zombies coming towards them as they're gonna get on the plane, and it looks like that movie has that too. iZombie does not have that at all. There's no, escaping the zombies because our main character is a zombie.
Also, like, in terms of promos, the CW promos are notoriously bad.
Yeah.
They don't do a good job of advertising what the show's about at all. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is a phenomenal show, but because the title is just like so, like, it's just inherently sexist, you just think the show's gonna be bad. You don't
Yeah.
realize it's a satire, and no one really realized it was a satire until like maybe season two or season three came out. And it was Jane the Virgin. I remember the commercial literally be like, I'm sorry, I accidentally inseminated you. It's like, inseminated? Lawsuit?
Yep.
And then Jane's like, huh? And I'm like, girl, okay, so we just put the pilot as the first It's a commercial. Okay,
Yeah.
got it. We all know what the show's about now. We're giving very much soap opera telenovela. Okay, got it. Yeah.
So was there anything, so you we were talking about this earlier. I didn't finish iZombie and I need to finish it. I didn't carry through to the end of the series because it's just something I do. Were there moments in the show that really stood out for you that were just so memorable that made it so like, I can't believe this is on TV. This is so cool.
There were a couple of moments for me. If the one thing that I love the most about iZombie is that it's definitely an interesting premise where the show's main character is a zombie and
It's
you're
so
kind of
different.
learning. Yeah, it's very different. And she's looking for a cure, which I think happens a lot of times when the main character becomes like a vampire, a zombie, a werewolf. No. It's like, how do we revert them back to humanness? And then, of course, we all know, like, at the end, they're like, oh, I'm gonna stay this undead, unhuman form in a way and just learn to live with it. So there's usually that kind of trope is something that I'm used to, but it's definitely interesting how the show dissects how zombies are made, the cure, bringing in the fact that there may be other zombies and how
There's a
that
lot of
affects.
science there.
There's a lot of sci-fi world building going on in the show, and it's done pretty well, I have to say. There are, like, season three, I would say, is the season where the show is juggling, like, a lot of plates, and there are a lot of other plot lines that are introduced. And that's just because with season two, it's very well done. Like, I have to say, season two is probably, in my opinion, the best season. Season three is definitely the most exciting season because now the show is getting into, like, okay, season one was really good. We just started off the story and started, like, laying down the foundation. Season two is where we continue to build upon that. And season three is where we kind of, like, heighten things and we're taking risks. And I guess the showrunners are kind of thinking in their heads, like, how do we elevate this to a way where we don't overdo it, but we still have the same je ne sais quoi that the show has, and we keep things realistic, but we also don't do it in a way where it doesn't make sense. And it does take on a couple different storylines within the season, which I think is fine, but I also feel like sometimes writers need to, like, understand what you're working with. You know, you have 13 episodes, girl. Like, let's keep it tight. Let's, like, wrap some things up. Like, sometimes some things should not be introduced and some things can be introduced and some things don't need to be wrapped up so quickly. You know what I
which is
mean?
funny too, because 13 episodes now again is a luxury. You don't get that. You're lucky,
Yeah.
if you're in the Marvel world, if you get six.
I'm actually surprised that it had 13 episodes because usually CW shows go on for 20
Right,
in a season.
they normally would have those standard network things, but I know, I don't know why that was the case. I would have to look at where it aired, but sometimes they have seasons that are like mid-season replacements for shows that have been canceled. So I wonder, and I'm gonna look back what time of the year. So
I'm
like
glad that the seasons weren't too long because
if
even
so
though, yeah.
it what it looked like the first episode did premiere in March, so it wasn't the traditional TV series season that premiered in September. So, like, it was a replacement for something that might be the answer why. And it would end,
Yeah.
and it would end. So it ran March through August. That was when we'd get new episodes. So it was like a summer series.
Which is definitely an interesting time to start a show, especially in the CW, because, I mean, from what I knew, because I usually just watch Supernatural, shows usually start in, like, October,
Right, that's
you
the
know?
traditional season, like television season. It would
Yeah.
run from September or October all the way through May. And that's if you have 20 episodes or whatever. So what it looks like with iZombie is that it was like a replacement for something that was canceled. When shows are abruptly canceled and they just don't even get more episodes. Like they had a season of iZombie ready to go to fill that gap. And then they
Yeah.
just kept it.
I can't think of a show that was canceled around
I
that
don't
time in the
know.
CW.
I kind of want to look it up.
Yeah,
CW
definitely look that up.
cancellations 2015, just because I'm nosy.
I do have to say another thing I love about iZombie is that we learn a lot about, like, the zombie mythology, but the writers kind of have like this thing that CW writers do where they're just doing like making it up as we go along,
Yeah.
you know, because season one, pretty strong, you know, stick to the script, stick to what you know. Season two, you know, make a little adjustments, make some little edits, you know. Season three, okay, maybe we need to go back to the drawing board on what we said in season one because y'all are doing a lot of hemming and hawing. Can we just like stick to what we know, please? Like, what's going on? And also, the characterizations in the show are fairly strong. There are, I will say, season three, there are some interesting choices for some people where it's like, I wonder where you go with this choice. Because season one, Ravi and Peyton have like a short relationship and then they break up. And season two, he seems very mature about it and he moves on, which is good, which you don't see a lot in like nerdy characters. Like sometimes they feel
And
some type
he's
of way and they
definitely
feel
nerdy.
hurt. Yes, very much so. A
And he's
lot
the
of Star
comic relief,
Wars. Yes, he is a comic relief and I love him for it. And then season three, he kind of gets like mopey a little bit. And I'm not really going to explain why he is. Like, if I, when you start watching the show and you figure out why, you'll be like, okay, I understand it. But also, kind of like, can we be an adult and move past this, please? Like, me personally, I understand why he was like that. But at the same time, I kind of wish you weren't like that out loud. You know what I mean? Not in front of people. You know, maybe with just with Liv, but also like, don't whine about it so much. And also, Major Lilywhite, love him so much. This guy, if the show was centered around just him, y'all would be like, damn, he's going through it. And he does go through it
But in
a
the end,
lot.
he gets his happy ending, right? In the end, he and Liv go off and live, spoilers again, live on their little zombie island with their zombie kids, and nobody knows they're still alive.
I'm not gonna lie, the finale with any, whenever a series ends, I'm always kind of like, this is, I'm gonna let the writers do what they do. I'm just gonna let the writers do what they do because we can never be satisfied with how a show ends. And with every show that I have watched and has come to a conclusion where the writers have chosen how it ends, which I prefer it that way, I can never say wholeheartedly, they're like, oh, I love that ending. I'm just kind of like, I'm just going to watch it. It's going to be done. It's going to be over. And I'm going to leave it at that. You know, that's the same way I feel with iZombie. Even with season four, I was like, girl, I don't know how we're going to get into season five. I don't know how we're going to wrap this up. I don't know what y'all finna do, but like, y'all really taking a lot of liberties here. Okay. And yeah, Major Lilywhite, it's just, that's another thing I noticed. The names, everyone's names.
That name in particular is kind of very, it's like they
On
put
the
in a temporary,
nose.
yeah, they put in a temporary placeholder name almost, and they just left it.
It's ironic because he's supposed to be this wholesome, great guy. And when you
He's
keep
a Boy
watching the
Scout.
show, he's a Boy Scout. And he becomes less of a Boy Scout as you keep watching the show. It's still in his heart, but it's still like, oh, how far we have fallen. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then there's Liv Moore, which is ironic
And
because
she's the
she's
main
literally a
character.
zombie.
She's Olivia.
And then of course the there is a big there's a big bad that comes into the show later on,
Called
Fillmore Graves.
Graves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all it had to be placeholders.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about Fillmore Graves until you just said that, but like, duh, that makes so much more sense.
Just right on the, like right in front of you, like hiding in plain sight.
I wonder if there are more. And I have to look it up too, because that's blowing my mind right now. Oh, and Blaine is very similar to Brain. That's awesome. Cool. I love that now. I think I love that even more about the show. And I
Who would you
know
say is your favorite character?
I like Liv. I mean, I think she withdrew from the world, right? Because she wants to protect them in some ways, right? She doesn't want, she ends up hurting Major, but she by withdrawing from him, but she doesn't want him to know she's a zombie. She doesn't want to go all Gur-arg on him, which she thinks is going to be her ultimate fate. And she doesn't want to do that to her family. She doesn't want to do that to Peyton, anybody. So ultimately, she wants to protect people. And I think that that trait kind of carries through, right? When she tries to save people as the renegade, when she tries to, she's just like got a good core. And I like her a lot because of that.
I do have to say, in season four, I think it is, when we introduce the whole renegade plot line, it's not really my favorite
It's not the murder
because
stuff either anymore. It's gone off to more serialized sci-fi land.
But I think the big reason why I didn't like it is because like the original Renegade is like a young black woman, not young, but like a black woman who's like turning people to save them from being terminally ill. And Chase, of course, Chase Graves decides to execute her in the town square, which is very heartbreaking. And then Liv taking on the mantle of like the white savior is very, it definitely like made me want to just be like, okay.
It's
And I had to like,
problematic.
yeah, it's definitely problematic. And I fully like stopped watching the show for a while because I was kind of like, do I want to watch this? Do I want to continue on? Because that's another thing with any kind of show where there is some kind of otherworldly creature, they take the place of a marginalized group. And I would say in season four and season three, it does a really good job of like having subtle political commentary. It's very interesting. It's really good. Season five is a lot more heavy-handed because I think we're entering into 2019, so it's like, you know, a little more on the nose, less so.
I think it's a very, there are a lot of parallels between, the real world. It isn't just a soapy show. There is political stuff there. There is, social commentary.
Yes, but I was not excited to see Liv do that because of course she's the main character. Like CW shows don't kill your darlings, they don't do that. I've watched Supernatural, I know. So
Those guys just kept going and going and going and going.
yeah, and I think that it's hard obviously to watch Liv take up a cause and then like, because I'm already in season four and I see her getting attached to the documentary guy and I'm like, girl, please don't do this again. Like we have to learn our lesson at some point. Like we have to.
She apparently
And
does not.
no, she doesn't. And I love her, but also it's like, girl, I want better for you. Like when are we gonna wake up and smell the roses? You know what I
She has a
mean?
lot of relationships that don't quite work out.
Oh my gosh, she's so young and beautiful. You know, like what can you do?
I wonder if some of that was like a CW mandate too, if they said, okay, we're going to do this show. You have to have her be their love triangles and all this other stuff.
Oh yeah, the mandatory love triangle in every single season because
But to go back to your point though from earlier, I can see how that's problematic, and I think that's completely fair.
yeah, it was definitely an oversight from the writers. And of course they would not have seen that because there are no black people in the writing room.
Really?
But yeah, I mean I'm pretty sure
That's also for,
there
I mean,
aren't any.
there are black main characters, so again, that's also a problem.
Yeah, that's the one thing that some CW shows love to do is like they throw in a little like progressive bone in there, but like racism, girl, let's not even touch that with a 10-foot pole. What do you mean? Yeah.
Well, it's a lot to think about, and a lot to think about in the context of iZombies.
Oh yeah. Also, season five, it gets very it
Well,
gets very interesting. I will have to say season five does give me Chuck vibes. Like
oh, where it kind of jumped the
a little bit.
Or good Chuck vibes, or where it kind
I
of
mean, if you know the ending of
wasn't this.
Chuck, then you know the ending of iZombie, kind of.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. It does reflect a lot on like older shows, you know, Hannibal's procedural and like the eating human remains and making that like interesting plot point. But Bushing Daisies, like happy-go-lucky kind of theme to the show and the comedy surrounding it. And then, you know, it has Chuck.
I don't
Chuck
even
was a show where the guy like could pick up on skills really quickly, right?
No, so that was the pretend. So the pretender was even older, and he, well, actually, maybe. So the
What's the
pretender had
pretender?
Jared, and it was
What?
like,
Wait, what's that? What's
okay,
that?
so I'm going to find out the name of the actor.
The
So
pretender?
the pretender was a show, I think it was on
What?
NBC. And this guy, Jared, had been raised by this institute just to know things and like be able to take on the mantle of anybody he just like read about. So every episode, he was a different thing. Again, similar and a little bit to iZombie. Like he would be a firefighter, he would be a doctor, he'd be like whatever, all while trying to escape from the clutches of these institute henchmen who he escaped from, but also solving mysteries and like solving crimes as the doctor or as the fireman. So it was kind of similar to that. But Chuck was, I think Chuck had essentially a supercomputer downloaded into his head.
Oh, yes. Yep, that's it.
Okay, so that was the one you were thinking of.
Yeah, that's the
I totally don't
similarity
remember
from
how that
Chuck I was
ended.
getting.
But actually the point
I
that
can't
like
remember if I've watched Chuck, if I'm being honest.
oh, well,
I mean,
maybe
it
you
was
have
a.
to. It
I
was like
mean, it's.
2007. It was a long time ago.
I'm not sure if I want to rewatch it because Zachary Levi is low key problematic, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's that. Yes.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Which sucks because I actually really do like Zachary Levi as an actor. Like, I genuinely
Are you
love
a fan
him.
of Shazam?
I like the first one. I haven't watched the second one yet because everyone said it was bad, and I do still want to watch it just because Megan Good is in it, and I
Oh.
love her. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's a superhero movie. Yes, girl, go off, queen. But at the same time, also Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren, like those are
Yep.
my girls. But
It's worth
I was just
watching
like.
for them. I mean, there are some moments, and I'm from Philly, and it made me mad because,
Oh yeah, we
you
talked
know,
about this before.
we did, and I have a chip on my shoulders about Shazam. I could do a podcast on that, but I won't.
Yeah,
Okay,
maybe one day.
I know we're totally close to time, so I don't want to go too much over. Any last thoughts on iZombie?
I would recommend checking it out and watching it. I will have to say, if you're looking for something funny and interesting, and ultimately something's going to grab your attention, and something that's just a good binge, iZombie is a great choice. I personally would say just watch it all the way through. It's been a while since I've watched the show because I finished it in 2019 when the last season came out.
When it's close to life.
Yeah, and if listen, if you start rewatching the show and you're like, I fell off with season 4, season 5. I mean, girl, I don't blame you, to be honest, because like I don't really remember what's going on. And
Definitely not me. I
listen, one
totally
thing about
watched.
me, I'm just gonna finish it. Like sometimes
Yep.
I won't watch the last episode, but other times, if I've already started what there was a time in my life where like I would start watching a show and I'm like, I put in the time, I put in the energy, I already know what this show is about. I just need to know what happens. Like, I just need to know how y'all wrap this up. Like, I just
Yep.
need it to end. You know, I can't ha keep having this live in the back of my head and then not have a resolution. I need the denouement. You know what I mean? So with iZombie, it was one of those shows where I was like, I need to know how this ends, mainly because I love the character so much and the actors. And will I ever rewatch it? I'm not really sure because I might cringe at just how CW it is now.
The drama.
Oh my
Dang.
gosh, I might cringe just at Major Lily White because he was so chivalrous to me when I was first watching the show, and now I feel like I'm just gonna be like, I don't know, sweetie. I don't know if I want that. You know what I mean? But I definitely do want to see Robert Buckley, and I don't know if it's a Netflix movie or like a Lifetime movie or something, but
Yeah.
there are times where you watch a show and you get so attached to the characters and the actors, and you love it so much, and you just want them to be in like something else, but something good. No, I don't want y'all just booking things.
Yep.
Okay, something good, please. I want to be able to watch it and get through it. All
Yep.
right, so shout out to Raul Coley for being in literally Mike Flanagan productions since he has left iZombie. I appreciate that because if it wasn't something that was of lower quality, babe,
It would
I don't know if
be,
we would be able
yeah.
to make it through it. I'm not gonna lie, so.
And I think that's the perfect way to end it. Thank you all for listening, if you're listening to this. And we have a lot of really fun shows coming up on this, I guess, forgotten and older TV shows from the 2010s on season of movies we texted about. Next week, I think we're going to be talking about Sleepy Hollow, which should be super fun and very spooky. And an excuse just to chat. So I'm Tu Lin, and you sometimes might see me around as Isla, and this is Monica, and you can find her on
Yes.
I've Been Meaning to Watch That, the podcast.
Yes, I've Been Meaning to Watch That is streaming on all platforms you find podcasts, and you can also find this
Go listen.
on go listen and tell
And
your
rate.
friends. Yes, and rate it, review on Spotify, Apple Pod, follow us on TikTok, and all the things.
Thank you.
Thank you.